is. Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felgert mask.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Second and 10. Brady drops back, throws it down the left side. Wide open. Gordon makes the catch. Slips a hit. Goodbye. 20, 15, 10. Touchdown, Patriots.
Oh, start the buses. Woo-hoo-hoo. What a Sunday night. Finally, the kid breaks through, and I said it, this could be his breakout game. 55-yard dagger. When you take chances and you try to close and you don't make the tackle on a 6'4", 240-pound receiver, somebody back there, because ain't nobody catching him. Wow. Thank you, Cleveland.
All right, let's discuss Felger Maz, fully loaded program. Maz in the Maz chair, Big Jim Murray in the update, Stu and Lanny behind the glass. Patriots, Packers. Your thoughts, Anthony?
I would tell you that I thought it was a good win. Not a great win, a good win.
Thank you for setting us straight on that.
And so there's a difference. The way some people are reacting, you think they won the freaking Super Bowl last night, for crying out loud. No, I'm serious. It really started to piss me off. I'm like, can we pump the brakes a little bit? Green Bay's 3-4-1. Like, you know, I understand it's Aaron Rodgers. I think the Aaron Rodgers element in the game clouded the reality for some people, which is that the Packers aren't very good. It's a mediocre football team. And to me, that was evident on the field last night. Now, there were things in the game that I liked. And to me, defensively, you should feel pretty good about that. Again, I wouldn't say great because I wasn't overly impressed with the Green Bay passing game, particularly the receiving core. And by that, I include Jimmy Graham and the running backs, the pass catchers. I didn't think they could get open. I think the Patriots played man-to-man basically the large majority of the night and had them covered. I think the whole thing with the Patriots defense last night started with the coverage. To me, I know people are talking about the pass rush, but to me, it was about the coverage. Rodgers didn't have anybody open. He couldn't throw. How many times did he hold the ball and had to run around?
So I told you that, and I also went to the game, and one of the things I was looking forward to is being at the stadium when you can really tell if receivers are open or not and the timing. And there wasn't. Last night, there really wasn't. And in typical Packers fashion, they do nothing to get the Patriots out of that. They just line up and do their stuff. And so it's an easy team to scheme for. And an easy team to play against in terms of that. And, yep. So, I mean, the good news is that you covered it. The good news is the Patriots had it covered, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely they did. And that's where I give them the credit. I mean, to me, the play of the defense was largely in the secondary. And so that I was encouraged by. Because I don't think, you know, these kids on Green Bay, I don't know a lot about them. I mean, Exxon Valdez and the other guys. I don't know. You know, so
you weren't impressed by that kid?
No, he can play. Yeah, he can play. I thought it took a while, though.
Yeah, he had a couple plays. He left a couple plays out there in the first half.
Yeah, I thought it took a while for Green Bay to figure out exactly where they wanted to go. Rodgers in particular. I thought Rodgers looked a little confused in the early part of the game, like he was trying to figure it out, and not anything I haven't seen before from any quarterback. And I do like that kid. I mean, he started to emerge there in the second half a little bit. But to me, it was all about taking Davante Adams out of the game, and then where's Green Bay going to go? And so, and that was Gilmore, and I give Gilmore all the credit in the world for that. Gilmore, I thought, was the best player on the field last night.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Gilmore was great. I thought it was Devin McCourty's best game of the year. Overall, I think that's the best game by the defense this year. I do think it's a hell of a win for them, considering how complete it was, and that it was a tight game, and the defense took over in the second half, and I was impressed by it. I think there's a lot to be encouraged there because, you know, this defense has taken a lot of flack, and I think rightfully so, but they were awesome last night.
So, I think it was a good night for the Patriots coordinators, particularly. And not that it was perfect. We certainly have some second guessing for the offensive play calling more than anything. That goal line set, for sure. You know, we'll get into. So I'm not telling you it was perfect. But when you think about it, the majority of the Patriots' big plays were just schemed. They were just schemed, whether it was a flea flicker in the first half or the throwback pass by Edelman or the backbreaker to Gordon, which you just heard. That's all sort of scheme stuff. And so I think Josh McDaniels had a good little bag of tricks. They timed it out perfectly, and all those plays counted. So I thought, you know, he had a good day in terms of that. It was a night where the offense wasn't great, you know, wasn't consistent for sure. And so they needed that big play, and McDaniels dialed a few up. So I think it was a good night for him. And defensively, well, whether it started with the coverage or the rush, either way, I saw the stat on ESPN. Rodgers was pressured 19 times, which is the most he's been pressured all season long for any Packers game. And his yard total, 250-something, was the lowest he had thrown all season. So I think Brian Flores and the defense had a good night. I think your coordinators had a good night. Your coaches had a good night. I think it came through in that game. I think the Packers, anything they got was sort of a, as usual, a break-off play from Aaron Rodgers, in which he chucks it all over the field or makes a good play eluding the rush, and just sort of like a, you know, very few things that the Packers just dialed up or just drew up, they actually ran and completed, and it's always, the big play is always the secondary stuff from them. And where I think the Patriots was sort of just the opposite. Like, they ran some plays to isolate some things and get and to have some things pop, and they popped. So, good night for the coaches. That's what stands out to me.
I just didn't think that the offense, even without Gronk and Michelle, would need to do that against that Green Bay defense. So, that to me was where I was sort of a little surprised. As I just thought, you know, with Edelman, White, Hogan, Gordon, like that, I thought that there was enough there for them to be able to sort of slice up that Green Bay defense more than they did.
Should the loss of Sony Michel be as big of a loss as it seems?
No, it shouldn't, but it is, because it feels to me like they don't have a functional running back on the roster without him.
Why don't they trust that Barner kid?
I don't know. He ran it pretty well for a series in Chicago a few weeks ago. I don't understand it.
Did he get one carry? I noticed one carry, and he ran it well.
Yeah, that was the one to the left, right? He ran left. So I don't know. You got me there. I don't know. Maybe Bill just wants to take his pants off and shake his ass at the world for putting Cordarrelle Patterson back there.
You know what I think? I think they pay him $3.5 million, and so they got to justify it.
Trying to justify his existence?
And I mean, let's face it. I mean, he's a better quote-unquote talent than Kenyon Barner, but he's not a running back. But then again, it just proves my point. You can put anyone back there. Put anyone back there. It doesn't matter. Barner, I thought Barner, did you see his blitz pickup on Clay Matthews?
I missed it.
He kind of upended him.
Oh, it's tremendous. I'm like, the kid does that. If the kid's going to stick his nose in there on the blitz pickup and de-cleat Clay Matthews on a rush up the middle, it's a tremendous play. Tough, instinctive, hard-nosed, right in the middle of it. Why wouldn't you hand him the ball in there?
Good question. I don't know.
I would think one thing begets the other.
Is he a fumbler or something, maybe?
I don't know. Patterson is. So, what? I mean, I feel like they're playing the Michelle loss into a bigger loss than it should be. Go find another running back. What's so hard about that? Or give it to the running back on your roster. Or, I guess, does it really matter? Keep giving it to Patterson because he produced, right? What's the diff?
Yeah.
It's the running back.
He did. I mean, a lot of that has to be credit to the offensive line. And is he making a lot of cuts? Like, okay, like, you know, he ran with power there, but I think too much is being made about this player right now. I really do.
I'm with Murray.
And I'm sorry. Like, if I have to eat an L on this like I did with the Wheel of Gutless Bums that turned into the best bullpen in baseball history with the Red Sox, I'll do it with Patterson. I'm sorry. I don't believe in this. I don't think it's sustainable. And I think it's a bad play waiting to happen. This is a turnover waiting to happen if you keep handing off to Patterson in the backfield.
Okay, we'll do much more on this later on Patterson at running back. What else didn't you like, Maz? Or Murray?
I thought Brady was I thought Tom Brady, especially at portions of the second half and the third quarter, and maybe this is credit to Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator of the Packers, who used to be with the Jets and had sometimes given Brady fits. Like, I don't know. There was times Brady looked lost, like throwing to completely nobody. So, you know, that I was concerned with. And early, too, even though we're trying to dial up pressure, like, they really couldn't get to Aaron Rodgers at all. And that's not, like, a really great offensive line of the Green Bay Packers. I mean, look, it wasn't a perfect win. I think overall, at the end of the night, it was their best win of the year. But there's still some things. And, again, how they keep stalling in the red zone. I just don't understand it. Is that on Brady? The receiver's not getting separation? Is it bad play calling? Or maybe it's just a combination of all of it.
Gronkowski, I mean, it's as simple as that. But even when he was out there, they weren't throwing to him. So either no Gronkowski or diminished Gronkowski's got to be a huge factor there.
Well, right. I mean, look, there's benefit to just having him on the field, right? Which is, again, you want to go back to the Super Bowl in 2011, for crying out loud. There was value to just have him out there. So I think that's part of it. But I thought they had enough. Like, I didn't think either quarterback was good, honestly. Like, that whole Brady-Rogers thing.
Give me a grade for each. Grade for each, please.
C-. For both. Maybe D plus.
Wow.
Jesus,
oh, no. Man.
I'll tell you what, C minus.
Come on.
C minus.
Brady was a C plus, and I think Rogers was a B.
Oh, I thought they were both average. Average, average, average.
It's on a scale. The plays there that the Patriots made were there. They were schemed. That's not to take anything away from Brady, but, you know, the pump fake on the screen, he could have thrown it to Gordon or Edelman, and they probably would have waltzed in. They had two guys wide open on that play. The flea flicker, wide open, well-schemed play. I mean, like, these are his biggest plays. And then there were a couple deep balls to Gordon that he came up with, you know, in traffic. But there wasn't much of a degree of difficulty with Brady's stuff. Rodgers, again, it's eluding one guy, stepping up, rolling left, rolling right, and chucking it down the field. You know, like, I just think that Rodgers had less to work with, as usual.
Yeah, I also thought he was off, though. Like, there was one play in the corner of the end zone where he threw to Graham, and I thought, and it's a play Rodgers can make, so maybe I'm holding his greatness against him there. The ball was late, and it tailed back a little, so Chung was able to break it up in the corner of the end zone.
On that one-handed attempt?
No, there was one before that down at the other end of the field, where there was a, you know, Graham broke away, and Rodgers identified the open area in the end zone and just kind of chucked the ball out there, but he was a little late with it, and so the play got broken up. And there were a couple of other throws. There was one on the sideline, I think, late in the game on third down, where he threw the ball into the ground. Like, you know, to me, I look at, and Brady had a couple of those too. Brady had one to Edelman in the middle of the field down by the goal line that he threw behind him that Edelman had to turn and couldn't catch. Like, there was the one in that, remember the one in that area where a bunch of guys were crossing, he just chucked it over Edelman's head?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yes.
That was horrendous.
Yeah, that's the one I was like, what the hell's happening here? Like, did he just show his age? Like, what? It just didn't, it was so uncharacteristic.
Here's how I would say it. What plays did they make?
So, I have a couple, but I mean, see, I think Rodgers made more plays than Brady. When you were just talking about the player. I mean, the Patriots drew up better schemed plays. And, well, I mean, the first touchdown drive is just because the Packers, once again, are another team. They're not the only team, but it feels like a lot. It takes a while to figure out that they will throw to 28, that they like giving the ball to 28. That if you don't cover 28.
He's a pretty good player, that guy.
Brady will just dump it down to the running back all the way down the field unless you cover him. It took the Packers a full series and 7 points on the board to figure it out. I mean, so that's like credit to the Patriots scheme, and they were ready to go, and Green Bay wasn't on that first series. But it's not like, was there any degree of difficulty there on Brady's plays?
No. See, this is what I'm saying is,
And Rodgers' two touchdowns was on third and two, and he had to roll left and stop and pop, and Adams had to make an adjustment. Like, that was a play.
That one I'll give Rodgers.
He had to make, and his touchdown to Graham was sort of a P in the corner. Like, those are plays he had to make. They weren't there. It's like they were, like, Josh Gordon almost in 20 yards of the guy. On a pump fake, you get the whole defense to bite. It was just different, but it's like, that's why it's so hard to individually grade those two quarterbacks, because Brady's just put in such a better position, and he succeeds with it. So, I don't know. But it's true, that duel didn't come through. We didn't get it.
I mean, I didn't think either one of them was particularly good. I think below average games for both of them. And am I grading them against themselves? Probably. Yeah,
I mean, I definitely am.
I mean, I went in with high expectations. Like, so, you know, I looked at it and said, well, here you go. You're going to get some pretty good quarterbacking tonight. And I didn't feel like you did.
Well, coming off that Rams-Saints game, too, I thought we were going to get that all over again. And it was a shell of what that game was at 4 o'clock.
Well, so from a Green Bay perspective, it was totally not surprising. They gave you a game. They're right in it. And they barf all over themselves.
Boy, they do. They make big mistakes.
I mean, you're there. You would if the kid doesn't fumble. You're second and two at the Patriots 27, tied 17 all early in the fourth quarter, and you're going up 3 or 7 points there. And it's a whole different ball game. But of course, they fumble, roughing the kicker, ejection for slapping a guy across the face with the Jaquanda for no freaking reason. The roughing the punter didn't come back to haunt him. They still punted, but the field position thing really worked against the Packers there for a time, and that was part of that. The roughing the ejection cost you another 7 points, gave him 15 yards all the way down. The fumble, self-evident, ended the game. And totally deflated Green Bay, and they sort of, I feel they kind of quit after that.
I mean, they did
on both sides.
They had a couple of penalties down there when they were down by the goal.
Oh, and well, the first red zone possession, they take a delay of game on the 9-yard line, just can't happen. But that's like, so typical. But up and down the field, they hung in there. They were right there, but they just can't get out of their own way. And so that, to me, was totally predictable. All right, your thoughts. Jimmy, release the hounds at 617-779-0985. Right to you after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First and 10 to start the fourth quarter at the New England 34 in a 17 all tie. Snap to Rodgers, a hand to Jones. He runs it through the left side. He fumbles. Ball is loose. Patriots should have it. Aaron Jones carrying through the left side and the ball punched free. Several Patriots were there, and the officials now try to wade through the scrum.
They got it.
The Patriots have taken over on the Green Bay turnover.
Yeah, they had us on the run a little bit. Lawrence Guy's fumble was a big play for us. The recovery was a big big scrum there, but we were able to come out with the ball and then made a couple plays, you know, offensively. Just kept battling, kept fighting, and like I said, really proud of the way the guys hung in there and just competed tonight, and that's really what it took. So it's good to be 7-2.
So there's a key play there on the fumble. Great defensive play or sloppy offensive play?
I mean, I say a little of both, actually, because guy turned and came back in the play and did get his hand in there and punched it out. At the same time, the ball can't come out that easy. That ball shot out of there. It shot out of there. Go ahead. What are you looking at me for?
I'm not looking at you. I'm making a face.
Oh, about the because you think it's bad.
Hold on to the ball. Come sure. On. Give me a break. Of course, guy slapped at it. Right. Like no one ever slaps at the ball before. Fourth quarter on the road. Chance to go ahead at New England. The premier team in the league where you can't F up. You got to be pretty close to perfect to come in here and beat that team. And you have a chance to do in the fourth quarter and you're that loose with the ball. Oh, please.
So he was loose with that. I'll tell you, though.
Come on.
I think guy kind of came out of nowhere on that play. I don't think he anticipated the hit coming from that side. And that's why I give guy credit is that he hit it square, man. He hit it right on the nose. So I thought he was out of the play and he spun back in it and punched it right out. So, you know, to me, for a defense, you know, anytime the defense forces a legit turnover, and that one was, you know, at least he punched it out as opposed to, you know, a guy just spitting the thing up at the first hint of contact. Like, so on that one, I thought, you know, I thought it was the only play pretty much guy made in the whole game. But that's another story.
So, I mean, it was absolutely, obviously, the turning point. And just because what it did to the Packers, I think they quit after that. For all intents and purposes, including Rodgers, or including the offense. I think it just deflated the whole side more than it should have.
He doesn't believe in his team.
So what did you say to me in the break?
He doesn't believe in his team. You can tell it by the way he's moving around on the field, the body language. He's sort of slapping it out there. He's kind of like, it doesn't matter. We're not going anywhere with this team this year anyway. So, you know, no, he's not invested. I mean, that I don't know any other way to say it. I watch him out there and I go, he's not into it. I don't want to say he doesn't care, but not as much as he normally would. He's just kind of going through the motions.
There's an issue there, and I have a suggestion for the Packers. I'll give it to you later. But I promised your phone's here to them right now. Jay in Grafton, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Felger, I got to compliment you. You've been dead on about LeGarrette Blount for years because in 2 weeks, Cordero Patterson has already become the functional equivalent of LeGarrette Blount. And you think they should continue to use him in that role going forward?
No, I think they should use a running back. And I don't care who the running back is. Just a running back. Someone who's a little shorter, a little stouter, with a little better pad level. You know, it's a little technical football thing, but Cordell Patterson's pad level as a running back is a freaking disgrace. You can't play the position that way. I don't think. Or maybe, so to the caller's point, like, I think the running back is so interchangeable and so just malleable that you could put anyone back there. So maybe this is proving it. Maybe this is just proving it for the 1,000th time, Murray.
Every time the guy touches the ball, I hold my breath. Every
Same here.
Single time. I am waiting for that thing to come squirting out of there at any moment. Every single time.
Again, more on Patterson in a minute. Tommy and Milton. Go ahead, Tommy.
I'm sorry. Listen, you know, I know McCarty had a pick six last week, but I got to tell you, Mike, I don't think he looks that great this year.
Devin McCourty, your thoughts. I didn't notice him last night.
No, me neither. And look, I don't think McCourty's really had a good year at all. You know, so you're not going to get any complaints from me. I mean, the straight line speed, great.
Chung gave up the touchdown.
Yep.
Was McCourty supposed to be deep center field on that long post that they completed?
No, I don't know. Good question. I don't know. That was Jason McCourty that got beat, right? I mean, he gets smoked on that play, too. Like, I'm surprised they didn't throw at him more.
Well, I'll tell you what. He didn't give up the TD. And this, I think, was a big thing for the Patriots last night is that they gave up some chunk plays, but they were all, that's it. It wasn't, you know, 83 there. If Rodgers had let him a little more, that was six. But either way, Jason McCourty did a good job recovering and just holding it to a long gain versus the touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, got him down on the ground, right? I mean, he was only, I say he gets smoked. He was a step and a half behind as opposed to three. So that's a, you know, but even so, I'm surprised that the Packers didn't attack those kinds of matchups more often.
It's not the way we do things. We don't game plan.
I mean, so
I know we just do what looks cute on a piece of paper, not necessarily geared to the opponent. Did we throw one? There was a few scramble plays where Rodgers hit the running back. But was there one designed throw to the running back?
Not that I remember, no.
Yeah, designed. Again, there was a couple scramble plays. But was there any designed throw to the running back?
I want to say there was one early in the game where they ran him across the formation and he was open on the left side.
I thought it was Cobb, but... Oh, no, no, no. You're right. You're right. Jones on an early first down. That's right.
Right? There was one early in the game that they did. Other than that, no.
Again, yeah, so Jones had... He had four targets. I don't remember him. Williams had a couple, too. I mean, you watched the game. Did it look to you like they were going to the running back to exploit that matchup?
No, and early in the game, I thought that they were going to Graham. It looked to me like, okay, well, here you go. They've identified that. And then they stopped. So they missed him on a couple of throws to start the game. I know they completed one. I don't know how many Graham ended up with. Do you have five or six catches?
Graham had four catches on six targets.
Okay. So, but early in the game, I thought, okay, well, this is what they're going to do. They're going to feed Graham all night. They're going to target him 10, 12 times in this game. They didn't. They stopped. It, you know, I've heard you say this because you watch them more regularly than I do. Boy, they are stupid. They do some stupid-ass things, the Packers do. They really do. One dumbass mistake after the next.
And let me tell you. They've done it every year under McCarthy. The year they won the Super Bowl. Remember when they won the Super Bowl and I kept telling you, I am stunned this team is here. I can't believe this team got to this point with all the stupid crap that they do. Even when they were good, quote unquote, or, you know, were a better team than this, they were good for three or four plays a game where you just said, is anyone coaching there? Is anyone doing anything? And, like, there's no accountability. This Whitehead kid who got thrown out, he'll start the next game. And the Jones kid with the fumble. They're not going to do anything to him. Nothing's going to happen. They're going to lose his job or lose touches. They probably won't even do anything during the week. They just, there's no sort of, I don't know, they just sort of roll with all the stupid crap that they do because more often than not, Rodgers bails them out. But it's, oh God, it's just, try being me and following that team that has some talent and has half a clue, but just can't dial it in, can't button it all the way down. Justin in Worcester. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, hi, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say two things real quick. Brady had a harder degree of difficulty, and Pelgrim Mez, you guys sound like a walking contradiction because Brady's been doing exactly what Rodgers has been doing with less his whole career. Brady's always done that, and I swear before the game, you guys said Rodgers was the better QB, and he had less to work with. Now Brady plays him, and he beats him, and he has less to work with without Gronk and Sony Michel. That's not that easy of a scenario.
So that's not what I was referring to. I think the talent was even last night. It's not like, I never said Rodgers hasn't had the talent around him. I said he hasn't had the coaching and the scheming around him. That, to me, is evident. And last night, I just disagree with you. Higher degree of difficulty. What that Gordon, the game breaker, he could have hit Edelman or Gordon, and they would have walked in probably untouched. They were so wide open. You know, well-designed play. The flea flicker in the first half, that deep crosser to Edelman that sets up 7 or 3, I can't remember what drive it was. It was a beautifully designed play, wide open. It wasn't a... Brady didn't have to put it into a window there. So I just think a lot of the Patriots' big play success last night was designed. It was schemed. Where on the Packers' side, it's not. It's just someone making a play, which is, there's a difference. Some other small plays that I liked from the Patriots last night. We'll get to that after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's a third down and 6 snap to Brady. Drops back against a four-man rush. Stands and throws near side. Wide open door set. Cradles the ball with a catch made along the sideline at the 44. He made the grab inbounds. A late break on the ball by the safety Jones with Breland over as well for Green Bay.
It's good clutch positioning by Dorsett. He gets an easy outside release. Brady's in trouble, but it takes some guts to hang in the pocket the way Brady does. He throws this off the back foot. His ball almost dies at the end, but that's a nice job by Dorsett securing the catch to the ground.
Now this, I thought, was a play that Brady made that wasn't schemed, that wasn't there, and was, I think, one of the hidden biggest plays in the game. And not many people are talking about this play now, but this is right after the fumble. Right after you force the fumble from Aaron Jones. You now have the ball at your own 24-yard line. It's a tie ball game. And you're facing a 3rd and 7. You had been stopped on your previous two drives. The drive before, you had stalled on the goal line, no points. The next drive, you go back 11 yards. You lost 11 yards. You're 4th and 21, and you punt, but they... the backers run into the punter, of course. So then you get a fresh set of downs, and you go three and out with that fresh set of downs. So you essentially had come up short in your previous three possessions for the Patriots. You get stuffed on the first two plays after the fumble. Patterson ran for a yard and then White up the middle for two. And now you're third and seven, and the play's not there. And when I say the play, I don't think his first read was there. I don't think Dorsett was the first read there. Because Brady, as you heard Zoe describe it, hung in the pocket, sort of went through his progressions, and then Dorsett broke free, came back to the ball, and you converted third and seven. A couple plays later, Edelman hits White with that double pass, and you're off and running. There's the ball game. That third and seven, that is not one that was schemed. That was Brady, and that was arguably one of the biggest plays of the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, sneaky big play. Yeah, in fact, you know, when I went back and watched the fourth quarter again this morning. And when I went back and looked, I said, ooh, like other than the fumble, that might have been the biggest play of the game. Sneaky. Like it's easy to talk about the double pass, right? See, like the double pass play, which I thought, by the way, was extremely well designed. Like that one I'll give them. But the trick play is trickery, right? Like, you know, so fine. Like I get a little more excited about the overall precision execution all the time. But that third down play, what were they? What was Brady? One for his previous seven? I think it was something like that.
Yeah, they were in a bad way at that point. They were not going well. They had been, again, their previous three possessions, if you include the possession following the roughing the punter, they had been stymied. And Brady was not looking good. And, well, he picked up that third down and they were off and running. So that was a huge play. A couple of the plays that I just liked. I mentioned this in the first segment. I thought that Barner blitz pickup of Matthews in the second quarter was just outstanding. Outstanding. And that's the kind of crap that I get excited about. It's like just tough, instinctive, does not show up on the stat sheet kind of play. But you got to do it if you're going to be out there. And reward the kid. You're going to stick his nose in there and take on, and I'm just going to say this for effect, one of the big pass rushers in the league, one of the best pass rushers in the league. Matthews isn't that anymore, but you know what I mean. He's going to take on that guy, full head of steam, coming up the middle and just stick his nose in there? Give him the ball.
And he's at such a size disadvantage, too. Like, that was a hell of a play.
Great. Great play.
Matthews was invisible in that game.
Another sneaky big stop, I thought. End of the second quarter. Okay, Patriots had just gone up on that. Was that the Cordell Patterson drive where he just ran it all the way down? Or is that the next one? Either way, they go up 17-10 in the second quarter, and Rodgers gets the ball back with now, what, just under 2 minutes left.
Right.
And he starts driving, and you're like, okay, here you go. And now the Packers have a chance with this hairpin turn because they're going to get the ball to start the third quarter. And the Packers start moving. They pick up a first down. They are third and one at their 45. Third and one at their 45 with 1:02 left. And I'm not sure if they have timeouts or not, but either way, midfield, minute left, plenty of time to get into at least field goal range, if not more. Rodgers does it routinely. Third and one. And Rodgers rolls out to his left, and Adrian Claiborne, finally, for the love of God, stays home and pushes him out of bounds, and they punt. And I thought that was a sneaky big stop there by the Patriots. It sort of, you know, that could have been some momentum there for the Packers if they score going in and then coming out of the half.
You surprised the Patriots took a knee there?
A little bit, yeah. And they also called timeout while the clock was winding on the Packers' side.
Yeah.
I was sure they would.
Yeah, I thought...
Like, what's up with this, guys?
I know, I was surprised by that. I thought, you know, because I think the timeout that... I want to say they had all three timeouts at that stage, for crying out loud. And I thought they could have had the ball with 40 seconds, three timeouts, and Brady can go down the field and get you three more points. Like, I thought they totally could have gotten some points out of that. But maybe that tells you how little confidence overall they have in the offense.
I found it interesting that they did not. But that was a big stop, and Claiborne showed up in this game, and his contain was much better.
Finally, that was his best game as a Patriot. You know, it felt like that was a justified offseason signing, finally, now 9 weeks in, but he had a hell of a game last night.
Okay, another note. Would they have won the Gordon Challenge on that great catch on the sidelines with the toe tap?
I don't think so, but Murray, you.
Well, I thought so, but then in the post game, Jim Louth, the producer, had ended up digging up some old audio from Blandino, or one of the old officiating guys from like 5 or 6 years ago, and he explained the difference between the toe tap, and there just wouldn't have been enough to see, even with the overhead view. You can get the toe down, but if a little bit of the heel hits the white, then they would overturn it. I just don't think that they ended up seeing enough, and the way Belichick talked about it afterwards too, or the way today he talked about it, I think that speaks to that. But in the moment, I thought he should have challenged it.
Bill said today, I didn't challenge it because I would have lost.
Yeah.
So, hell of a catch though. Which brings me to Gordon, and this is emerging to me. his hands and his ability to go up and go get the ball in traffic is tremendous. He still has it, right? He's been a weapon for you. And he's lasted longer than I frankly thought he would. So, you know, apparently they're turning a blind eye or looking the other way with some of his tardiness or some of his off-field stuff. So they're just sort of letting it go, which I would not have expected. I thought if he had, you know, what'd you hear when you signed him? One screw-up and Bill lets him go. No, this feels like he's been late and they're letting it just, they're just brushing it aside. So they're accepting it. They're just changing the rules, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. But they're getting production out of him, so that's all that matters, right? So whatever they're doing there is right. But I think it's mostly his ability to go up in traffic. Am I the only one who feels that he's lost his explosiveness?
He doesn't look as fast as he used to. I mean,
I'd go so far as to say he looks borderline slow.
Doesn't he?
Yes. Like, yes, he doesn't separate at all. He doesn't get any separation at all. I noticed it early in the game yesterday.
So he'll go up and get it. This is obvious. And his hands are good, and he'll go up in traffic and fight for it and all that. That's great. But that Josh Gordon we used to know being shot out of a cannon, I haven't seen that guy.
Well, that first deep pass to him that was an incompletion, it looked he was huffing and puffing to make his way down the field. That was the one that's like, ooh.
Even the touchdown.
Yeah.
Look at the last 10 yards of the touchdown. He didn't, quote-unquote, finish the run. He didn't need to, I don't suppose. But he was sort of laboring at the end of the touchdown.
I'm wondering if it's a blessing in disguise. Because now they're less tempted to just whip it down the field to him and actually, you know, make him, you know, run an in cut or something on the sideline or a slant. Because that's that Brady to Gordon slant, it works.
Yeah.
Well, his ability to catch in traffic, like you say, and the toughness and the hands.
He's big. Legit.
He's tough. And he dislocated his finger last night a couple of times, too. I don't know if you saw. Oh, it was. Ah. And he just kept resetting it. He talked about it after the game. I was like, oh, God. And that's how you know they're much more man than I'll ever be. But he was just like, oh, yeah, no, it dislocated. I put it back in. No big deal.
And I'm glad they brought Dorsett back a little bit. I just mentioned the third and seven. Like, he should be a good fourth, fifth option in the possession game.
Well, the key phrase you used to explain that play, he came back to the ball. He comes back to the ball. Three targets last night, three catches. He's been MIA since the Miami game.
Right.
Get this guy more involved.
Let him back in. All right, those are some game
Tommy Heinsohn has a theory on Josh Gordon.
He looks like he's 5 pounds overweight.
Very good, Jimmy. All right, we've got a long commercial segment with your reaction to last night's win over the Packers. Don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Brady in victory formation takes the snap and the knee. Patriots are in first place in the AFC East, and Brady has taken the knee. The team spilling off the respective sidelines.
Depressive.
And the Patriots come out tonight and finish week number 9 with an impressive win by 2 touchdowns over Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
And as promised, to your phones with your reaction. Christian is in Foxborough. Hi, Christian.
Hey, how you doing, Felga?
Good.
Adrian Claiborne, I mean, that guy sucks, honestly. Like, the only thing that sticks out with him is his hair, honestly. Like, he just, I don't know, I feel like we need more insurance for the pass rush. And I don't know, I just think we need more insurance there.
Okay, the trade deadline's come and gone, so you're not going to get any. It's a weird time to be criticizing Adrian Claiborne. It was his best game of the year. That's not where I'd go after last night. I mean, you want to talk about on the year, yeah, he's been a little disappointing. Last night he was good.
Still feels like purely a pass player to me, though.
Trey Flowers?
No. Oh, Trey Flowers is a monster.
Beast.
He's a monster.
Oh, he's terrific. Terrific. It's the next guy they got to pay. I mean, you want to talk about the next story there. Let's see if they'll reach deep for him. Because if I'm him, I'm going to the market with all that film. He's gotten to be an absolute beast. Blair in Maine, your thoughts?
What's going on, Felger?
Not much, Blair. What do you got?
Nothing much. You know, Tom, if everybody's going to hate on Tom Brady, well, look what he's done. Because last night, you know, they were saying that Aaron Rodgers was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all two, but you got Tom Brady and then you got Aaron Rodgers. What one would you pick? I'll take your take on that one.
Okay. Last night, I just think it's sort of hard to tell. I think the Patriots stuff was better schemed, as usual. And as usual, Green Bay is really just Aaron Rodgers running for his life back there, sometimes making a play, sometimes not. I mean, really. And then just the Packers doing a handful of stupid crap. I mean, I see it every week. Every week, whether they're good or bad, it's the same thing. Even when they win, it's the same thing.
I mean, I can't tell you how disappointed I was with the Packers last night, offensively. I can't emphasize that enough. Because, you know, even though they have a shortage of, you know, experienced talent, how about that's a nice way to put it? Like, I look at them and say, you got to be kidding me. With the players you have on offense, that's the best you can do? Like, really? It's as simple for the Patriots as putting Stephon Gilmore and Davante Adams and the game's over.
And they do nothing to sort of take them out of it.
That's it. That's really all it was.
No bunch formations.
Nothing.
Do you see, you know, they'll run Cobb in motion a little bit, but you ever see them bring Adams across the formation to try and get some room or some picks or run? No, they just sort of run their routes. It's like that. It's like that every week. It's been that for years. It's a completely stale offense.
I mean, I was really, I thought, again, that team to me looks relatively lifeless. Like Rodgers looks to me like he doesn't believe in that team.
And all that being said, kid doesn't fumble the ball. They're leading in the fourth quarter in Foxborough. So they're not totally hopeless, which, again, will lead me to something here coming up. Matthew in Waltham. Go ahead, Matthew. Matthew!
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I've done some research, and I couldn't find anything on this, so I was wondering if you guys could shed some light on this topic. So has the NFL ever taken into consideration using the clock as an objective measurement for ruling a catch?
Huh?
Has the NFL ever taken into consideration using the clock as an objective measurement?
What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean?
So, I mean, there's some subjectiveness in the rule.
Matthew, thank you for the call.
I know what he means. I think I know what he means.
What is it?
And that is that, for example, you know, you have to make a quote-unquote football move, and that is loosely or subjectively defined.
As a half a second or a second.
Right.
I see.
As opposed to saying, after you catch the ball, you have to hold on to it for a second.
Got it. What play are we talking about?
I have no idea.
Because it didn't apply last night. There was a Gordon play on the sidelines that they didn't review because Bill said they would have lost it. And then there was one catch that was trapped that they reversed. But it has nothing to do with the football move or anything.
Right. I have no idea what play he's talking about.
Okay.
None.
All right. We've got Casey in Bridgewater. Hi, Casey.
Hey, you guys did a great show. I just got 2 points to make. First off, that offense they run is like an offense I ran in Pop Warner. And how that guy still has a job, McCarthy, is beyond me. And my second point is the secondary. The McCourty twins, first off, and that kid couldn't stay with Graham Chung in there. Couldn't stay with Graham on any single one of those plays. And why they went away from Graham is beyond me. Thank you very much.
Okay.
So, look, I generally agree with that. I, you know, now I will say this for Chung. I don't even know how many inches he's given up to Graham, but it's got to be like 8.
He competes.
He does. He fights, man. He does.
Even on that touchdown, he didn't let it go.
No, he did. And so that's what you got to give me. He will play through every single play. I mean, he's always somewhere near there. Right? It's never, you know, but they had such a size advantage there. They should have been feeding that guy the ball all night long with that matchup. All night long. And they didn't.
It's not how they roll.
So, again, like, I give Chung credit because he does the best he can. He gives you the best he's got on every play. Like, that part of his game is admirable. Absolutely. But there's no way he should be able to cover that guy.
There's no other way for me to describe the Packers to you schematically than they pretty much play straight up. It might be a little different now with Pettine on defense. It feels like there's a few more wrinkles. But they're really just sort of their own wrinkles. It's not like they do anything to exploit the opponent. So Pettine will dial up these blitzes, but is it necessarily to take advantage of this guy or that thing on the Green Bay? No. It's just neat plays he comes up with on his own. And the Patriots' offense is just, this guy's going to run a slant, that guy's going to run a flag, and this guy's going to drag across the middle. And then no one's going to be open, and then Rodgers is going to hold the ball. He's going to dance either outside the pocket and throw on the run, or he's going to step up in the pocket and unload the ball, and that's going
to
be the play.
No, it's a good way to put it. There's no game planning.
They just play straight up.
I mean, it's unbelievable to me that you would go in and play the Patriots and have Patrick Chung covering Jimmy Graham and not want to exploit that matchup.
Yeah. They'd rather run the ball. Tori in New Hampshire. Hi, Tori. What do you got?
Hey, guys. How you doing? You got a great show. Listen, I don't understand sometimes when the Patriots are leading why Josh McDaniels becomes lethargic and then they go on three and out and three and out and three and out. It makes no sense to me.
So where did you feel the lethargy was?
Well, I felt like last night when it was 17-17, I felt like they should have put their foot on the gas and put these guys away. But I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Okay,
it's
but
like you got a Green Bay team that's struggling.
So, but I don't think it came from the play calling. I think Brady got cold there. I think the Packers got to Brady a little bit. He had happy feet. He wasn't set. He wasn't seeing the field great. And maybe, who knows, that because they were moving the ball fine until they got stopped on the 1-yard line. And then the next couple series, it was bad. And I think maybe they just lost a little confidence there or momentum there with that red zone stop. And the Packers defense got up. And maybe that's what's happened. But I didn't see it from a play calling standpoint. In fact, I've said to you from the start, I think McDaniels was a big part of this win. Those trick plays, those big plays, the chunk plays that you hit, were all schemed. Those were all schemed. It's like those guys were wide open because of the play call. I think he actually had a good night.
He had a bad moment or two, though.
Down on the goal line, and we'll get to it. It's right. Tyler in Framingham on the Packers. Yes, Tyler.
Yeah. Felger, how do you feel about McCarthy, and when is enough enough with him? It's been years and years, and we keep seeing the same routine with one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So, I'm going to hang up just like
yeah,
on that.
I keep teasing this. I'll just tell you now. I think they should fire him today. Like, honestly, and I don't say that flippantly, or I don't say that, like, cavalierly, because it's not like last night is singularly his fault. Like, there was no singular fireable offense. It's just the Packers have a new GM who's willing, it seems, to make some harder choices now. They just traded Clinton Dix and the running back for being jackasses. And it's widely assumed in Green Bay they're going to let McCarthy go after this year anyway. And maybe that's what you're seeing there on this team. Maybe it's a lame duck coaching staff and the players know it and sort of seeped into the roster. Because you're right, they lack a little bounce.
I mean, to me, it's Rodgers more than
Rodgers
anybody.
Does. So maybe Rodgers knows this is just a lame duck coach. His stuff has gone stale a long time ago. He can't dial the team in to play a disciplined game in all three phases. There's always going to be mass stupidity, a player getting ejected for a dope slap across the face right in front of the ref, or roughing the punter on 4th and 21. 4th and 21, you jackass. And the fumble. And it happens every week. Fire him now. They have Joe Philbin upstairs as the offensive coordinator. He coached in Miami, so, like, I don't think he's a great coach, but at least he has head coaching experience. Try and get like a Raymond Berry kind of thing. You know, just addition by subtraction where you fire the old guy. Who was the a-hole Ron Meyer. So you fire Ron Meyer and you get a new coach in there. Maybe it just wakes everybody up and you get a little run out of it. I mean, honestly, because McCarthy's gone after the year. So do it now. Do it today.
So the only danger there, though, is that what if they respond to the guy and then you have to keep him?
That would scare me. I would hate to have to keep Joe Philbin. It's a fair point.
Like, you know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean.
You're almost better off saying, you know what, let's just flush the mother.
But McCarthy knows he's a dead man walking. I mean, he cut that post-game press conference short last
night. Oh, my God, that was I didn't see it. I just read it. It was four questions.
Yeah, and he was real salty. Like, he knows they're done. And right now, Mike, they're your team. They got to finish. They got to win out to make the playoffs. They already have four losses. They got to be 11-4-1 to have a sniff of the playoffs.
Their schedule's too hard. They're cooked. Fire him. Fire him now and see what happens. I'm not blaming last night's singular on McCarthy. I think he's the thing that's preventing them from going to the next level again. So it's time. It's going to be time in the new GM is going to bring in his own coach in the offseason. So what are you waiting for? See if something happens this year. See you later. Fire him. I'd fire him this morning. Meanwhile, the most overrated player and storyline in Boston sports today. Maz and Murray, we'll get to that right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.